right, everybody, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. If you find it and you can, please stand in honor of God's word. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And we're going to read a few verses to verse 38. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." And we've seen that in Sunday school that of David was an important factor. And verse 28, "And the angel come in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she had saw him, she was troubled at his sight and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at your word, that you would have your will to be accomplished. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just use the word of God to speak to our hearts. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, that we're tonight or this morning, we're going to talk about Mary's discoveries. You know, from Malachi to Matthew, there's pretty much a quiet time. And then all of a sudden, after this quiet time, starting in Matthew, was a flurry of angelic activity. And first you have the angel appearing unto Elizabeth, and the Bible says that she was up in years and that she was barren. She couldn't have children, and the angel appeared unto her. And I believe that one of the reasons why the angel had appeared unto Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was had a child after she was called barren, was to verify or solidify to Mary that, hey, God is able and that God can do exactly what he promises. And so the world enters at this time into a time of swift prophetic fulfillment. And so we, you know, as we study just a little bit in Sunday school, we see that all this was planned from the very beginning by God. And so God, nothing happened by chance. God, nothing happened by happenstance. God knew even before the foundations of the world that Jesus was going to have to enter into the world and save lost sinners. And aren't you glad that he did? Because you know what? We have a way of escape. We don't have to pay the punishment of sin. It's by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so basically the appearance, you have the appearance of Gabriel to Mary then. And it takes place in Galilee in the city of Nazareth. The Bible says in verse 26. And you know, Mary is a virgin waiting for her marriage to Joseph. And we saw that in Sunday school as well, that here's the thing, is it was important in the prophecies of Jesus that Jesus was not the son of Joseph. And so the thing about it is if he were the son of Joseph, he could not be the Messiah. And the Bible calls him the only begotten of God. And so the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, there's a lot of places in the Bible where the Bible calls Jesus the only begotten of the Father. And that makes him pure and spotless, just like we saw at the Passover. We saw that a pure and spotless lamb had to be be taken and sacrificed so that the blood could be put across the doorpost so the firstborn could be saved. That was the picture. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God was one day going to be born of a virgin, and he was going to be begotten of God, and he would take, and you know what? He would be the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. This is why Abraham was used. Why? Because you know what? He was willing to sacrifice Isaac, another picture of the perfect sacrifice that was to come. And so Mary is awaiting her marriage to Joseph. The Bible says in verse 27, to the virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And the espousal was kind of like the engagement period, engagement time. But Mary discovered some things during this encounter with the angel. And I'll be honest with you, these discoveries can also be applied to our lives. And you'll see as we go along. And the Bible says in verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal. You look at it, there's two sets of words there. There's forever and no end. You know, the thing about it is Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal. No doubt, Mary had plans of her own. You know, the thing about it is you talk to a lot of ladies before they get married, you know, maybe they have plans of a white picket fence and a house and a yard out in the country. And she had dreams just like other young women. And she dreamed that one day she would find the right man and he would ask her to marry him, and the thing about it is I think back about when my wife and I got engaged, and we went to medieval times, and I was scareder than anything, and I took the place of the winning knight, and I asked her to marry me, and in front of a couple thousand people, and fortunately she said yes. And so that was the best night in my life, and outside of salvation. But the thing about it, hopefully I was her dream man. And so she's shaking her head yes, so that's a good thing. If it was a no, I'd be worried. But here's the thing is that she probably thought one day she'd have children of her own. And you know, the thing about it is every parent wants to be proud of their children. But here's the thing is that I'm sure she had plans of her children growing up and doing great things. And, you know, I tell you what, one thing I love is I love the ability to be proud of my kids. And when they do something great, you know, here's the thing is every child does something that every now and then you think, I'm not so proud of that. But the thing about it is the great times in the life of a parent is when you can swell with pride and say, you know what, my child did something great for God. You know what, my child exceeded in school. And hopefully we're not like the ones that had the bumper sticker. My child beat up your honor student, you know. But the thing about it is that we all want to be proud of our children. And here's the thing is maybe Abby did get engaged, but we're not telling a story about Abby. Mary, you know, she had plans and goals and dreams. But the thing about it is that Gabriel had a surprising message. First surprise is verse 28. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Here's the thing I'm not a woman, so I wouldn't be too proud about that statement. But here's the thing is, imagine that, you know, hey, listen, thou art favored among women. Thou hast found favor with the Lord. I'd like to find favor with the Lord. And here's the thing is that message was given to Mary. And then verse 30, it was said again, the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And so here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. If an angel appeared to me, I don't know that I'd stick around to hear what he had to say, you know, but here's the thing is Mary stuck around and the Bible talks about, how she was afraid this angel also told her that she would conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Her son would be the Son of the Highest and it would be Jesus. And the Bible goes on to say that he would save his people from their sins. The thing about it is that, you know what? He would be a king and would reign forever in verse 33, the Bible says. Imagine getting this. And here's the thing is, she It was a surprising message because she wasn't even married yet. But the thing about it is God works on a forever basis. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. I'll be honest with you, this morning, if you missed it in Sunday school, I know there was a lot, it was kind of like drinking out of a fire hose, but at the same point in time, you know what? The fact that God had planned from the very beginning the lineage of David. And, you know, the thing about it is God thinks on a forever basis. A lot of times we tend to look at the here and now. We tend to look at what's right in front of us. But the thing about it is this is why trusting in God is so awesome, is because, you know what? God doesn't just see the right in front of us. And God doesn't just see the past like we can. And here's the thing is sometimes the past is tainted for us because we don't remember things always like they used to be. Just like, for instance, at a funeral, you can have the honoriest cuss in the world. And at the funeral, everybody's saying nice things, and that's a good thing. They should. But you know what? A lot of times we tend to remember the good things about the past. And but here's the thing is sometimes those remembering the good things about the past taints us from enjoying the present and the future. But that's not the sermon. And so, but anyways, here's the thing is God works on a forever basis. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 89, the Bible says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And so here's the thing is that, listen, even though Mary had plans of her own, even though Mary had aspirations of her own, here's the thing is that Gabriel gave her a surprising message that, number one, she was favored with God and blessed among women, or highly favored among women, and that, you know what, she would bear a son, and that son would have a forever impact on eternity. Here's the thing is, we need to make our plans with eternity's values in view. See, too many times, like I said, we look at the here and now and we don't see the eternal impact. I'll be honest with you, one of the decisions that my parents had made when I was growing up was to be in church every time the doors are open. I really believe that the reason I'm standing here today as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ is because my parents made the decision, a forever decision, to decide that when the doors were open, they were going to be in there. And they were going to teach their kids, and they were going to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll be honest with you, that was a decision that had a forever consequence. It was a forever decision. How will this affect God's plan? They knew that, you know what? As a parent, they had to raise up the children according to this book. And I'll be honest with you, I'm so glad that my parents made that decision. I have a sister that's two sisters that are serving God with their lives. And here's the thing is that it's because of this, the decisions my parents made. I'm nothing special. But too many times we need to ask ourselves when we make decisions, how will this affect my home? See, we saw in Sunday school that we read in Galatians about how you know what, there was a consequence in the lineage of Jesus Christ, that, you know what, an illegitimate child could not enter in. There had to be 10 generations passed, and I won't reteach it because it'll take a long time. But you know, the thing about it is because of that one consequence, there was 10 generations passed. David was a 10th generation. None of those other nine could sit on the throne in Israel because of that one person's sin. And see, the thing about it is you know what? We need to make decisions and plans with eternity's value in view. How will this affect God's plan? How will this affect my home? How will this affect my family? How will this affect my extended family? How will this affect everyone around me? Because see, the thing about it is our decisions have consequences, some good and some bad. And I'll be honest with you, praise the Lord, Mary. Look at Mary's decision. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She said, hey, listen, whatever God wants, let it be done. And I'll be honest with you, that right there is the prayer of the successful Christian. The prayer of someone who knows true joy and true peace. We sing peace on earth, goodwill towards man. You want to have peace in your life? Pray to God, God, your will, be it done unto me as I will. And so the thing about it is that, listen, Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal. Next, Mary discovered that God's promises are unfailing. Look at verse 32. The Bible says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And here's the thing is God's promises are unfailing. God had promised all the way back to Adam and Eve that, you know what? Hey, there was going to be someone that was going to bruise the head of the serpent, and you know what? That was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. All throughout Scripture, God was preparing them for the coming of the Lord. And here you have earlier, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, Elizabeth gives birth to John. John was supposed to prepare the way of the Lord, you know, a voice calling in the wilderness. And here's the thing is that God, Mary discovered that God's promises are unfailing. God had been promising since the beginning of the world that a Savior would come, and bless God, she saw the fulfillment of that promise. She gave birth to a baby, and you know what? That baby was a Savior. That baby was going to be the propitiation for our sin. You know what? Because of our sin, we needed a Savior, and that Savior was Jesus Christ, born of a virgin called Mary. And I tell you what, Jesus was the fulfillment to that promise. Mary discovered God's promises are unfailing. Mary had to be familiar with the promises about the Messiah, that someday God would send one to rule over David's throne, like the Bible says in verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give him the throne of the father David. You know what's interesting is we saw this morning in Sunday school, and I can't help but refer to it because it fits so together so much like a glove. God promised that he would come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and through the lineage. And here's the thing is, those promises were fulfilled when Christ was born. We talked about also in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We discovered that promises were unfailing about the virgin birth. God had been preparing them that, you know what? It was going to be the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And also God promised in Micah chapter 5 that and verse 2 that he was to be born in Bethlehem. You know, the thing about it is that did you realize that centuries had passed without these promises being fulfilled? And then all of a sudden, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Gabriel reveals that she was to give birth to the promised one. You know what? Mary discovered that God's promises are unfailing. First, she discovered God's promises are eternal. Second, that God's promises are unfailing. Third, Mary discovered that God's power is unlimited. God's power is unlimited. Look at verse 37. The Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And she said in verse 34, how shall it be? Verse 34, and then said Mary to the angel, how shall it be, seeing I know not a man? Here's the thing is, Mary was confused. Here's the thing is, Mary didn't quite know. It had never happened before that a virgin would conceive. But yet, at the same point in time, she discovered that God's power is unlimited. This is, I believe, why Elizabeth gave birth after being up in years and barren, so God could prove to Mary, hey, listen, my power is unlimited with God. All things are possible. What in your life do you think is impossible for God? I'll be honest with you. Different circumstances we need to just give to God. I'll be honest with you. One of the things that frightens me the most is the raising of children. One of the things that would break my heart the most is to have a child that would walk away from God and to ruin their life. I'll be honest with you. I've got to give it to God. I've got to do all that God commands me to do, you know what, and try my best. I'm not perfect, but ultimately I've got to give it to God. You see, nowadays you look around and the world has become worse and worse and worse. What is impossible? Well, what the Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. See, the thing about it is there are still children being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and children still growing up and making their parents proud by walking with God and making the right decisions. But I'll be honest with you, the only way it's going to happen is by, with God, nothing shall be impossible. It takes a parent to have a prayer life. It takes a parent that is walking with God in the Bible reading. It takes a parent who says, you know what, God, your will is what's best. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, Mary discovered that God's power is unlimited. Even though she was confused, even though I believe there was a little bit of speck of doubt, she said, listen, Lord, you can have your way. And the thing about it is she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Oh, that Christians nowadays would pray that prayer. Be it unto me according to thy word. Too many times we allow the hecticness of life to get in between our walk with God. Too many times we take and different things interfere with our walk with God. But here's the thing is that God's power is unlimited. God had already proven his power in Elizabeth. With God, all things are possible. What good news for our troubled times. See, the thing about it is I believe that souls can still get saved, even today, where it seemed like so many have rejected God. So many have tried to, I think about the fight Frankenmuth, Michigan had a few years back on trying to take the cross out of people's yards. And so what did a lot of people do? They started just peppering the town with crosses in their own yards. And I tell you what, I believe with God, all things are impossible. I still think that God is able to take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. You know what I think about when I was just a young boy? And you know what? I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I prayed the sinner's prayer. And you know what? God saved me from death and hell. And you know what? My destination changed. You know what? I never had to experience the horribleness of hell. My feet never had to touch hell. You know what? One day I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to see my Savior face to face. The Bible says he's preparing a mansion just for me. And you know what? It's all because of Christ. It's all because of that virgin born, only begotten Son of God that was born in Bethlehem, that like my wife sang about, died on Calvary for our sins. And I tell you what, with God, all things are impossible. See, Mary's discoveries also were demonstrated in the gospel. God's plans are eternal. The cross. See, here's the thing is that Jesus Christ didn't just live on this life like some insinuate to be a good teacher. Jesus Christ didn't come be born of a virgin just to be our example, although he did teach us a lot and he was our example. You know what? Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem in a manger to one day die upon Calvary. See, there was an eternal plan of God the Father. God's promises are unfailing. Think about the resurrection. I tell you what, wouldn't that be cool to be there when Christ rose from the grave? To see that big stone rolled away and you walk in, for he is not here, for he is risen. I tell you what, God's promises are unfailing. God's power is unlimited. The new birth to those who believe. You know, the thing about it is the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the thing about it is for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The thing about it is, you know what? Jesus Christ knew that we as a very wicked, sin-sick earth were going to need a Savior. And you know what? Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of a virgin, and died on the cross for our sins. And that, you know what? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, Mary's discoveries were demonstrated in the gospel. The cross, the resurrection, and the new birth of those who believe. So let me encourage you this morning. Make Mary's discoveries personal. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'll be honest with you, if you don't know what it means to be born again, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me encourage you, when the altar calls, come forward, and we'll be happy to show you from the Bible how you can be born again, how you can trust in that Christ that was born of a virgin, the only begotten of the Father, the only one qualified to be the Savior. But for those of us that are saved, let me encourage you to trust him with the care of our problems. Trust him with the care of our troubles and our trials. The Bible says he's the one who knows exactly what we're going through. Being tempted and tried as a man. See, the thing about it is, as much as he was God, he was man too. He was the God-man, the only one that could be qualified to be the Savior. So let me encourage you this morning is, listen, if you have a trial, if you have a care, let's give it to the one who, number one, who has eternal plans, whose promises are unfailing, and whose power is unlimited. I'll be honest with you. As much as we like to, as humans, take things into our own hands, there's only so much that we as a human can accomplish. And I'll be honest with you, too many times when we try and do things in our own power, in our own might, in our own wisdom, we fail. But let me tell you, if we give things over to the God that cannot fail, to the God whose power is unlimited, I tell you what, then we'll know true peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Gospels and all that we learn about Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, all that we've learned about what Christ came to accomplish. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you had a plan and a purpose, and Heavenly Father, it took so much time to fulfill it. But Heavenly Father, I believe that you are planning and preparing and moving the pieces into the right areas so that Christ could come. Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, for the sinless life that Christ had, and for the fact that Christ died for us on Calvary. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just, as the altar is about ready to be opened, Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to make decisions that would honor and glorify you. Heavenly Father, if there's one here that's not saved, they don't know what it means to be born again, they haven't trusted you as Savior, I pray that you give them the courage to step forward to an old-fashioned altar and come forward and allow somebody to show them from the Bible how they can be saved. Heavenly Father, and for those of us that know what it is like to be called the Son of God, I pray that you help us to make decisions that would draw us closer to you. Help us to trust in the unfailing one, the one that has unlimited power and cannot fail. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.